Okay. Here we are.
Here we are. It's our first inaugural episode.
Inaugural.
So
this is Brown Burndown.
Brown Burndown.
Or is it the Brown Burndown? The Brown Burn. The Brown Burn.
This is Brown Burndown. Burn down.
Burn
down. Brown Burn down.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. It's weird because I have you on WhatsApp chat, which is like...
Yeah, wow, WhatsApp video chat.
I know, it's like, it's definitely grainier, and it's also like, feels like we're in 1998. So
but
close.
We're back. So far. We're alive. And this is going to be a mini episode. We're just to let everyone know that we're alive, we're doing well, we're thriving, in fact. Mm-hmm. And we've got... we're not thriving. Which is why there have been so few episodes over the last 4 months. But we do have a lot to discuss and a very short amount of time to discuss it. So let's just get right into it.
We'll get right into it. The theme of this episode is updates and gossip because there's no clear theme and half of it is updates and half of it is gossip. And we're going to spend a lot of time, actually, who knows? Let's not promise anything. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, I feel like I've been so bad at like following up on content that we talk about. Like I still haven't seen like anything. I haven't seen Mindy Project. Like I'm like so
okay, you do not need to put time into seeing Mindy Project. It's okay. I think you I think you get it. You yeah. do not need to do that. But I agree with you. I feel like there's been a lot of talk on our podcast of things that we need to watch and we're really excited about. And then like I still haven't seen Polite Society.
Oh yeah, you gotta. It's so good.
Yeah, see, like, that's pretty bad, and that was something I was gonna do. Actually, we were gonna do a whole episode about it, and I still haven't seen it, so...
We can still do a whole episode about it. I still haven't finished Sex Lives Season 2. I don't know. Anyway, whatever. It's like, we're behind.
Another one you do not.
Okay, but one Rabs did actually follow through and watch something we talked about.
I know. I sent her our last episode, I believe. Actually, I don't think it was even in our episode. It was over. We texted about it a little bit after the last episode. There was this movie that came out on Disney Plus called World's Best that one of Tarz's friends told her about. And honestly, this movie got no buzz. Like, it did not make it onto my interface anywhere. Like, the algorithm did not line up with mine. But... it was a really sweet movie about an Indian American kid whose dad dies. His dad used to be a rapper, but he has no idea that his dad had this like amazingly cool life and was like super
also,
like, confident and swaggy. And he's like this
swaggy.
Kid is just like really into math, into math, and like he just wants to like be like his dad because he misses his dad and like. He learns to, like, rap and, like, relive, like, his few memories that he had of his dad through, like, learning to rap. And it was honestly so sweet. But it does
Disney.
Not have good reviews. It has bad reviews. It has 5.4 stars on IMDb, but 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, which...
But did you see the thing about how Rotten Tomatoes is, like, buying off... Or, like, people are, like, paying reviewers to write... Like, movies are paying reviewers to write high Rotten Tomatoes scores.
Oh, well, I missed that. So I guess the Rotten Tomatoes review means nothing.
Means nothing. What did my friend say about it? Let's see. Let me see. She wrote World's Best. World's Best. I should have looked this up before. Okay, she was like, do you have takes on World's Best on Disney Plus? I have no idea what that is. It's like a DCOM. It's about a little brown math whiz who decides to go into rapping like his late father, which is a bananas premise for a movie, first of all.
Yes, it is. But that was bananas.
She goes, I was like, what are your hot takes? She goes, it's really young. Like, he dreams and his dead dad comes to life and teaches him how to rap, lol. And also, it's kind of like a musical.
Yeah, there's a lot of rap in it. But it's like, this kid, honestly, like, someone should be hitting him up for, like, more movies. Like, he's such a good little actor. Like, he's amazing. Aww. Anyways, so I don't know how much this movie did for, like, advancing a story about a brown family with, like, themes and topics that I feel like are very culturally important to brown families. But it was a wonderful film just about a brown family and, like, struggling with grief and learning to rap and being defined by, like, the stereotypes and learning to push yourself. I don't know. I thought it was a really sweet DCOM, as the DCOMs are. It was, like, DCOM movie.
Can I just ask what prompted you to put on a DCOM? What was your headspace? Like, what was the, like, where were you, like, in a hotel room all alone at 3 a.m? What was happening? Paint the picture.
I know you want to know. Honestly, it was really sad. I was just, like, at work, and I had to stay up, like, basically all night because there was, like, a bunch of stuff going on. So I was, like, anything to pass the time so that I don't, like, fall asleep, but also, like, make this time more enjoyable so I don't have to study. So that's how I did it. It was in the call room at work. I watched it over one night.
I wasn't far off. It was, like, 3 a.m. at work. Yeah.
At work. And all the lights were off. I was watching on my laptop.
That feels like the appropriate moment to be watching a DCOM at, like, 30.
I agree. Yeah, so if you guys have watched it, like, I really want to know your thoughts. Like, was I just, like, DeLulu in the call room thinking that it is, like, really, like, a good movie? Or was it actually a good movie? I don't know. Well, actually, I feel like there were a lot of movies this summer that came out, and we really, like, didn't get to talk about them much. Like, this was, like, a good movie summer, which honestly might be, like, the last good movie summer in a long time.
Yeah, because of strikes.
The writer's strike.
Yeah.
But let's see, there was Barbie this year, which you still have to see.
Yeah.
And then there was Oppenheimer, which you saw, right?
Isn't that weird that I saw Oppenheimer and not Barbie?
I think that's actually the case for a lot of people.
Really?
But, like, that whole week when they both came out, everyone at work was like, are you an Oppenheimer or a Barbie?
But wouldn't you say that I would be a Barbie? Like, you would be a Barbie.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, but I think... I think also that we're both Oppenheimers. Like, you...
We have Oppenheimer tendencies.
We have Oppenheimer... Yes. Yeah. But also, we're Barbie. I think I identify as Barbie for sure.
Oh, like, same. Yes. Barbie with Oppenheimer rising.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, duh. Exactly.
I think, but, okay, the reason I saw Oppenheimer was because I was supposed to see Barbie 2 days later, but then I got a concussion in the interim, so then I couldn't see Barbie. But I would have like, prioritized. It was, like, timing. I would have seen Barbie over Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer was, like, I'm curious what your reactions were. Mine were very much, like, of all the things to focus on with the atomic bomb, like, this is what we picked? Like, drama with Robert Downey Jr.? Like, that's, like, the least interesting part of this entire thing. And, like, the moral dilemma stuff felt really tacked on to me and not super, like, key to it. It felt more about, like, I guess it's a biopic, so it's, like, more about him as a person. But, like, I don't know. Like, the gotcha moments around Robert Downey Jr., spoilers, felt like... like, the least interesting part of the entire thing. And I was, like, really curious why that became the centerpiece of the movie. This has been, like, over-talked about, but, like, the women had absolutely zero inner agency or, like, character complexity at all.
Yeah.
Like, Florence Pugh was, like... they were both just, like, crazy...
yeah.
Like, personality lists, like, who moments just, in the hero's journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I just feel like, okay, so much has been, the reason we're talking about this, it doesn't have to do with anything except that there's, like, this one sex scene that everyone's really stressed about, and Rob's mom has opinions about, apparently.
Yes, unfortunately. there's, so I mean, in the same vein of the women Whoever wrote the women, I mean, obviously I don't think that those characters were written by women, and then probably is in line with all the other Christopher Nolan movies where the women really, truly are, like, very one, maximum two-dimensional. But these women, like, I was reading more about Florence Pugh's character, like, the character that she plays. Like, that woman was a psychiatrist. Like, she was, like, one of the only women at UCSF's medical school when she met Oppenheimer. Like, yes, like, she was so accomplished and so smart, and they, like, reduced her to this, like, sexy communist, you know? Yeah, just no chemistry at all. Made no sense. I was like, they felt like such accessory, like, characters just kind of tacked on, similarly to the moral dilemma. Like, the moral dilemma to me was the most intriguing part of the whole movie. And they, like, it was very much just an afterthought. I left the movie feeling shell-shocked. I made the mistake of watching it in IMAX, and I wish I'd brought earplugs. But, like, it was so loud, and, like, every sound effect just felt, like, exacerbated by 100.
That's a lot.
And so, like, I felt really much like, oh, I had just been, like, bombed. But then the moral dilemma felt like very much the afterthought. I was like, wait, the bomb was, yes, definitely part of the movie, very integral to the story and the rest of the plot. But the moral dilemma was actually, like, the whole point of the movie. And they, like, did very little to, like, talk about the victims, I thought. Or, like, you understand what Oppenheimer is coming from, but I don't know. I couldn't really, like, sympathize with him because I couldn't understand, like, what the extent of his, like, moral dilemma was, you know? Like, it was very, very, like, loosely done. Anyways, all of that is to say is that I got totally derailed thinking about this movie, but Florence Pugh's character has sex with Oppenheimer, and he's, like, reading the Gita to her while, like, he like, apparently could read Sanskrit and stuff and, like, knows the Gita and was, like, a follower, like, loosely of, actually not loosely, like, pretty, like, intensely of Hinduism, which I think was an interesting...
That was also unclear to me.
Yeah, they, like, didn't really, like, do a good job painting that picture, but they didn't choose to include it while he's having sex with her, so, like, clearly it was important to him, but also just felt like a very sloppy choice. The, like, conservatives in India are having, like, their field day and, like, taking this movie down because of the sex scene and the fact that he's reading the Gita, like, this fundamental Hindu
text.
Leaders are like, oh my gosh, like, death to Christopher Nolan for doing this. But
it does, sorry, like, definitely fit into this, like, exoticization of, like, I don't know. Like, it was an interesting choice that there were absolutely no Japanese people in the movie, and I think an intentional one that was, like, we are, like, pursuing this from the perspective of Oppenheimer and what it would be like to be an American leading this sort of decision-making process and, like, building this thing and, like, how removed you actually feel from the impact of your work and, like, the ramifications of that decision, which I think, like, there's been a lot of discussion about that, but also that didn't bother me as much, I think, as, like, the fact that, like, yeah, like, to your earlier point about Florence Pugh's character isn't given, like, any actual storyline, and, like, she was actually really cool, and there was, like, a lot of context there. And it does feel like, proppy. Like, everything feels, like, a little proppy to the, like, story that they're trying to tell about Oppenheimer, of, like, everything else is a prop and the details don't really matter. And this felt, like, proppy also. And, like, slightly, like, internal bias about, like, I don't know, like, exotic culture, like sex, Kama Sutra, whatever. Like, that felt like a little bit weird. But it was proppy. Like, why mention it at all? What does it have to do with anything except for it, like, didn't a have proppy, to do with... like,
yeah.
Like, ooh,
he, it didn't, like, have to was... do with anything. Oh, Hasan Minhaj. Let's definitely talk about Hasan Minhaj.
Let's talk about Hasan Minhaj. I'm thrilled to talk about Hasan Minhaj. I've been waiting a long time to talk about Hasan Minhaj.
Finally being taken down. Okay, so backstory on Hasan Minhaj is that I've been a fan. Okay, Rabs, me, has been a fan. Tars, anti-fan. Not a fan. But over the years, I started liking him when he did his White House Correspondents' Dinner. Like he was the comedian at the dinner in, like, 2018 or something like that. And I thought he was hilarious when Trump was president. But then the more comedy he does, the more we realize that he's just kind of, like, Indian, like, jerk humor, you know? Like, kind of like Jackass, like, I'm so cool because I'm, like, a brown man who likes basketball and wears Air Jordans and dates like white girls and like, you know what I mean, like knows, like I have like three rappers like phone numbers in my phone, I don't know, like that's what I'm imagining he is like in person. But there have been articles, or actually no, it was a, was it in the New York Times, that article you sent me?
Yeah, it was New York Times alert. Breaking
news. It was an alert about how he's, like, embellished a lot of the stories in his stand-up routines, but embellished and not anonymized a lot of the stories, too, to the point where, like, the people involved in the stories, like, clearly know the stories about them, and they are getting, like, death threats, and he is not just, like, added the, like, you know, the Mirchan masala to stories that, like, make them good. He's, like, truly just, like, derailed the story and, like, come up with, like, some new thing that had, that was not even based in fact. And, like, some of it's really, really just, like, he's just lying. That's, like, he, there's an FBI agent at his mosque growing up, and, like, that actually never happened. And, like, in his stand-up routine, it's all about, like, the FBI agent named Eric, like, coming to his family's home for dinner and, like, trying to, like, get to know all the young Muslim youths really well because he's, like, trying to, like, track down, like, homegrown terrorists. I don't know. And, like, that never actually happened. Like, there was no man named Eric, and, like, it just simply did not ever exist. It's like, can you do that?
So, I think there is, like, a broader question here about, like, can you do that? I was watching John Mulaney's most recent special.
Oh, Baby J.
Baby J, 100% for gossip reasons. I, like, didn't need to watch it, but I was, like, did you watch it, too?
Yeah.
It's different. Like, it's definitely not as funny as his, like, original stuff, but, like, his, it's, the core is still there in John Mulaney.
It was a lot darker.
It was a lot darker. It was, like, a lot more self-aware. Like, he, like, really pulled back the character of, like, happy-go-lucky normal dude. And it was, like, yeah, all my celebrity friends had an intervention for me. And, like, like just, like, a little more, like, oh, he's kind of annoying. Like, he's, like, kind of, like, a shit person. One thing that I thought was interesting, it was, like, very verifiable, was, like, he has a thing at the end where he talks about this article, this, like, interview he gave with, like, GQ, or I think GQ, that he was, like, really high for. Like, he doesn't remember it at all. And he was, like, coked out of his mind or something, and he, like, gave this article. And it's, like, a comedic bit of literally him just, like, reciting the answers that he gave in this interview. That's, like, you can go look up the interview afterwards. And I did look up the interview. And it is embellished. Like, some of the stuff is, like, he, like, changes the answer, or, like, he'll be, like, I said this, that's it. And it sounds crazy when you hear it, and you're, like, oh, my God, he was so cooked up. And then you read the article, and it actually does sound kind of coherent. You're, like, there's, it's, like, you're, like, oh, I could see how he would just be being, like, you know, weird comedian. So it is embellished a little bit. But, like, the article exists, and, like, the things are still, like,
it's still there.
The truth is there, and I think that's what, like, makes it, okay, is it's, like, embellished to the point where, like, it's just, like, a funnier line if it's, like, you know, saying, like, I don't know, making a joke that is punchier, but it's, like, still coming from a source of truth. I think the Hasan Minhaj thing that is more upsetting, because I imagine most of these comedians, like, embellish their stuff, is, like, a lot of it is the woe is me stuff that's embellished. Which I think is, like, the first of all, the number one reason I have not liked him, because he gives off major, like, I don't know, like, I'm a hot brown guy, and, like, women and people should... Sorry. My mom just called me. Voice memo. Are you still working? I hope so. Okay. He gives off major, like, I'm a, like... Like, he had this whole bit, which you really liked and bothered me, where he was like, I'm hotter... Who was he saying he was hotter than? Do you remember that, like, clip where he was like... He was basically just like, I'm hotter than all these white actors.
And just, or like, was that, like, the Timothée Chalamet thing where he was like... Where... No, that was the, like, pronunciation.
That was a pronunciation thing. Yeah, I just, like... Okay, I think I don't even know how to put my finger on it, but it's just, like, he reminds me of all these, like, huge personality brown men who, like, are really entitled.
Yeah.
And, like, think they're the greatest thing since sliced bread. And the, like, problem with those guys, hugely generalizing here, obviously. I know incredible brown men. But the problem with this, like, specific archetype is that there's, like... a woe is me angle to it. It's like, it's very much like, I'm like hot and cool and fun, but like my brand is also like, people are racist, and like it's like hard to be like me. Like, if I was like a white guy, I would be like this, but like 500 times better. And that's very much Hasan Minhaj's brand too, of like, you can't say my name, and that's like messed up, which I agree is messed up, like, don't I say his name, or like, girls didn't ask me to prom because I was brown, or like, yeah. I experienced a lot of racism,
which apparently never
up.
Happened also. That was like a lie,
which never happened. And that's the thing that's like upsetting, is like, why are you creating false like difficulties for yourself? Like, that doesn't make your brand better. Like, I like something about this like woe is me thing that like, you know, like, brown people in America actually are facing legitimate racism, and like, why are you making it about you? If it didn't happen to you, then just, like, tell stories of other people, or, like, do different kinds of comedy, or, like, use your voice for, like, the pronunciation thing is, like, a good example of this. You being, like, girls didn't go to prom with me because I was brown is not, if it's not true. Like, and also, like, how are you going to trace that that's because you're brown anyway? So, like, I feel like it's, like, ultimately detrimental for the cause, which is, the cause being broadly, like, there is racism in this country, and people experience it all the time. And, like, don't exaggerate it. It's very much the, like, Jussie Smollett thing of, like, don't fake a hate crime, because there are actual hate crimes happening, and the second you do it, you, like, throw doubt on every actual thing that happens. And it's so frustrating, because it's, like, you've just succumbed to this idea that, like, it's harder for you than it is for everyone else, and it's not. If it's, I mean, maybe it is, but if it isn't, then, like, don't, like, pretend it is. And, like, let other people's voices speak, because otherwise everyone is going to, like, sort of denounce this broad thing. That didn't make any sense. I was not articulate at all.
No, that makes sense. Oh. I understand what you're saying. He's diluting the, not done, he's, you undermine, like, actual racist, horrible things that are happening by faking experiences that you've had with racism. Just for likes, and I guess that's his livelihood, I guess. But, yeah, like, you can't do that. Also, I remember there was that... It was very hush-hush, like, swept under the rug. It was, like, mostly on Twitter about how he was an a-hole to all the women on his staff.
Yeah.
And, like, come on. Like, don't be all, like, feminist. I'm amazing. It's, like, the... Samantha Bee, remember the Me Too Samantha Bee? I still think about that monologue all the time because it was so perfect. But she's like, if you're going to walk the walk, like, then you have to talk the talk. Like, you don't just get to wear a Me Too pin if you don't actually support women. And that's essentially what Hasan Minhaj does. He's like created this image that he's this woke, brown, feminist, whatever, like, cool person. But he's not. And, like, I think this is kind of the fourth nail in the coffin. Like, he already had three, and this is the fourth one. Like, don't embellish. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of over for him.
I mean, it. Yeah,
I mean, he doesn't have his Netflix special.
Over for him. Yeah, because, like,
well, he doesn't have his show anymore.
Yeah,
I mean, Aziz back. Like, oh yeah, he had a comedy thing too, right?
Yeah, I don't think comedians ever really get canceled, but I'm glad that more people are coming to my train. And, like, understanding the thing I can't articulate, which is just, like, ego-y men with ego-y attitudes tend to not be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Rabs, I gotta go.
Do you have to go?
But okay. I'm gonna just go for like an hour and 15 minutes. Are you around at any other point today?
I should be here. Oh my gosh, don't like rush or anything. I should be here. There's a chance I get called in. Do you want to stop recording? Let's just stop recording.
Sure. Let's stop. Tell me when.
Okay, let's do 3, 2, 1 and then stop.
Okay.
Okay, ready? 3. Oh, what else we talk? Okay, I feel like we have a lot. We have a couple more things to talk about, even though I know this is a mini episode, but like maybe it'll be a maxi episode. Mini. Who knows? Yeah. Okay, so we have like a couple of things to cover still. One of which I feel like it's going to take us longer to talk about the Sophie and Joe drama. So let's put a pin in that. But we did want to talk about this news that came to light recently about a student at a university up in Seattle who was hit by a police officer speeding through like a red light or through a red light or just through an intersection where there was pedestrian traffic, like hitting her, killing her, and like moving on, just kept driving, like did not go back to check on her. And didn't face any repercussions for his actions for, like, months afterwards. And then, like, lied, said that he had, like, sirens on, his lights on. He did not. He was just speeding in, like, a pedestrian zone. And then was talking to one of his, like, buddies on his cop, like, walkie-talkie system, and he was like, oh, you can just like pay off the family, like she was insignificant. Just like painful on so many levels. And this student was from India, and I was shocked. I think I told you this yesterday, but shocked to learn this all of this happened in January of this year, like a full 9 months ago. And it just made mainstream news, and that too, like, only for, like, one news cycle. Now, like, 9 months later.
Yeah, her name was Janvi Kandula. She was 23 years old, and he said that her life had limited value after he determined that she was dead. So, I don't know. I mean, I think it's, like, partially more an indictment on the police more broadly. Obviously there's like stories of Black people being murdered by the police on a regular basis, but I think it is like also the way he talked about her is probably just like a way that Indian immigrants can be perceived by like the quote unquote system as like, not having value. Let me find the exact quotes. What did he say? Oh, next. Oh my God. The Seattle police respondent said, the Seattle police video is an example, blah, blah. There's much more detail and nuance that has not been made public yet. The video captures only one side of the conversation. The police officer said his comments were quote unquote sarcastic and meant to embody the argument of a shrewd city lawyer attempting to minimize a monetary settlement. What? I laughed at the ridiculous of how these incidents are litigated and the ridiculous of how I've watched these incidents play out as two parties bargain over a tragedy. At the time, I believed the conversation was private and not being recorded. Does that make it better?
No, that's, I have thoughts on that too, and like the private versus what's public versus private in regards to Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis. Oh, yeah. Did you see that?
I did see that.
Yeah, like, no, that's, with something like at this big stakes, like it doesn't matter whether it's private or not, like everything you do will be used against you because you committed a crime, you know, like it doesn't matter if it's a private conversation, like you committed a crime. So that was just really, really painful to hear.
Yeah, I think it's It's really sad and hard, and yeah, there's not really a takeaway other than that. And the sad truth is, like, this happens to different communities all the time, and the way we're training police right now is just not good. Yeah, I don't have a solution. I mean, there are people who are way smarter on policing reform than I am, and you should go listen to them. But yeah, it was very sad and very hard to read, and a lot of the, like, brown community was very up in arms. Oh yeah. Okay, well, this is just basically, like, I think someone sent this to us where we, which I actually didn't know about at all, but I think it's, like, a broader conversation about the way in which Indians or South Asians can feel like they're second-class citizens in certain contexts, and this, like, incident reinforcing that event, sort of the, like, behind closed doors, like, what are people thinking about you, which is kind of like an immigrant thing overall. But this was brought to our attention that in, I think this was 2020, there were these new tapes that were leaked about Nixon, former President Nixon, having a conversation with Henry Kissinger, and just, like, this sheer amount of bigotry that they are spewing about Indians. And some of the quotes are, like, pretty appalling. One is just, like, randomly, like, Nixon goes, "Undoubtedly the most attractive women in the world are Indian women. Undoubtedly," he repeated with a venomous tone. Like, what?
No, and then he continues. It gets worse. It's like this hole he digs. He's just like, "I'm gonna keep digging. I can go for days." He says, "The most sexless, nothing, these people. I mean, people say, what about the black Africans? Well, you can see something, the vitality there. I mean, they have a little animal-like charm. Yikes. But God, those Indians, ack, pathetic, ugh." Oh my God. I couldn't read that.
I mean, it's, like, it's so funny in a gross way. And then there's, and this is not in the context of Indira Gandhi, right? This was separate. But
separate.
Then when Indira Gandhi is prime minister and comes, and there's a picture here, and she honestly looks really good. Like, she looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
And in an aside, Nixon says, "To me, they turn me off. How the hell do they turn other people on, Henry? Tell me." They turn me off. They're repulsive, and it's just easy to be tough with them.
And allegedly, Henry Kissinger did not say anything to the contrary. Also, like, I feel like it's important we add, since he's still alive and given, like, all the, like, pedestal and acclaim that, like, you get of being the former Secretary of State, and, like, ugh, it just makes me so mad.
I know, it's gross. He says, "I don't know how they reproduce."
Man. I mean, Nixon was bad for so many reasons, but this is, like, wow.
I mean, yeah, we don't look back on Nixon positively, generally speaking, but, like, yes.
Yeah.
What a jerk.
But essentially what this article, like, goes on to say is that, like, a lot of the way he thought influenced his, like, leniency towards making certain political decisions, like, you know, ignoring genocidal violence by certain countries when, like, there were South Asian victims, you know. And that's pretty bad.
I mean, yeah, that's textbook, like, your biases are interfering with your broader judgment, and is why people are fearful of things like the conversation that police officer was having afterwards, was like, "Oh, you, like, think less of her life as a Indian woman who didn't matter? Like, did that influence the way you, like, went through that speed bump? Like, does that influence the way you act on a day-to-day basis?" Like, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
Anyway, bummer all around.
But it's really, really, truly a bummer. But we're going to do a sharp pivot now.
Pivot us, reps.
It is a sharp pivot. A pivot to sad news, I guess, depending on your perspective. Sophie Turner and Joe Jonas broke up. Man, that feels really wrong to, like, talk about that right after the really, like, horrible, horrible. Oh, I can't, but I still feel, like, gross from reading that article.
Yeah, it's gross, but this podcast, like, our whole thing is, like, ridiculously frivolous, stupid gossip, and also meaningful. Like, they're so important. The genesis of our podcast is Priyanka and Nick, and we, like, we keep going until they stop. Like, this is, like...
Yeah.
And really, we thought it would be, like, a few months, and then we're like, oh, this is a cute podcast, we'll do for a few months. But, like, they are, against all odds, going really strong. And we often have compared their relationship to Sophie and Joe's relationship. And, like,
right.
Joke's on us.
Joke's truly on us. Because... I think we could even go back and look at, like, the evidence. Like, I think we've only ever talked about Sophie and Joe in a positive light. And you will also remember that, like, Joe was my Jonas brother.
So, like,
this comes as a true shock to me.
You want to hear a funny Instagram reel I saw today?
Yeah.
There's a... I don't have TikTok, so... I rely on raps for TikTok content, but there's, if anyone has seen Camp Rock, there's this, like, the whole premise of Camp Rock is that Joe Jonas is so hot and, like a hot, like, whatever. like, yeah, whatever. That is, I guess, maybe was the case in 2008 or whenever that came out. And he has, like, really long hair in the style of, like, yeah, 2006 through 8 Disney Channel boys.
Yeah.
And, like, pants that don't really fit that well, but are so skinny and, like, brightly colored, which was also, like, I don't know, that was a rumor thing in my high school. And, like, it's just supposed to be, like, so hot. And there's just, like, an image of him singing and, like, kind of, like, twirling this microphone in his hand. And, like, the Instagram reel is, like, can you believe that Disney convinced us that this was, like, hot or something? And the number one comment on the thing is, like, this is why Sophie divorced him. I'm like, yeah. I mean, it was always embarrassing, and we have talked about this, that Sophie Turner, who's, like, so cool, Queen of the North, whatever, we stan, had to, like, post Jonas Brothers songs on her Instagram story. That's humiliating.
Yeah, that is humiliating.
That's so humiliating. It's
like... Like, how much do you have to love someone to actually do that? You know what I mean?
No,
like, it's just, like, embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing. And then there's all the stuff that, like, maybe we talked about. We probably talked about. Maybe we didn't. The fact that she was, like, they started dating when she was 19 or something. Like, she was, like, really young.
Yeah.
He's, like...
She's much younger than him, right? Like, she's, like, 8 or 9 years younger,
right? I think
he's
35 now, and she's 27.
Oh, okay, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, let's see. How old is she? Sophie Turner, 8. She's 27 and he's 34. Yeah. So 7 years. That's like a pretty decent.
That's a big difference when you're 19, right?
Yeah. And he, like, dated Gigi Hadid before, who's, like, similarly aged, and, like, I don't know. There's, like, some
Taylor
weird...
Swift.
He, like, hit on Gigi Hadid when she was 13 for the first time. Like, he's, like...
Gross.
Yeah, he's, like, a little bit... Got a little bit of a creepy track record. And, like, it is kind of crazy because he does have these, like... He was raised very Christian. They had kids very quickly. They got married and had children, like, very quickly. So she's 27 and has 2 kids. And I think she had her first kid when she was 23 or something, like, really young. And, like, career put on hold for a period of time. Like, she was, like, the lead in the X-Men movie. She was, like, climbing high off of the Game of Thrones stuff, and then didn't work for a while, presumably because she was pregnant and
she
having
had
kids.
But, like, also, what was he doing? You know what I mean? For, like, her to have to sacrifice her career. I didn't understand that part of it. Sorry, continue.
Yeah, like, what, Jonas Brothers were reuniting? Like,
yeah, it's like, what? Yeah.
Sure. So, yeah, so that was that. I don't know. There's, like, and then there was this whole, to recap, random people who, like, are really not involved in celebrity gossip world have been texting me about this. I think everyone's very fascinated by it because there's this, like, really gross, messy PR thing that's unfolding.
Yeah.
Where he was doing some sort of very obvious smear campaign where he was, like, telling news outlets that she was, like, a bad mother and that she was, like, partying all the time. And, like, he was forced to, like, take care of the kids. And then there's, like, a ton of evidence that people, because, like, the internet is very Team Sophie, that came out and was, like, her during the pandemic being, like, just really social and likes to go out. The pandemic is awesome because, like, I've just gotten to be a homebody and be at home and, like...
Yeah, and she's, like, I love being at home. Like, it's perfect for me.
Yeah, and just, like, that there's, like, not really evidence of her partying. The shots that, like, his team leaked are her at a rap party for a TV show she was in, not, like, a crazy clubbing night, like, literally, like, a cast rap party. And then, like, apparently she found out about the divorce from the media. So what ends up happening is he has a smear campaign. He takes all these pictures with his kids, like, and, like, leaks it to the press. Turns out the only reason he has the kids is because she's filming this TV show in the UK, and they had agreed that they would all relocate to the UK because she was, like, super homesick. And, like, the kids had been living, like, really unstable lives. And he was only with the kids over the course of the tour because she was filming this TV show and then they were supposed to reunite. So she sues him for custody because he's hid the kids' passports so she can't take them back to England. And in this, like, affidavit or whatever, I don't know legal terms, she, like, details everything. And she, like, has the receipts. And it's, like... Like, he does this whole, like, smear campaign, and then she has, like, all these receipts of, like, here are all the things that, like, we agreed we're going to relocate to England. He's hiding the kids' passports. Like, she's not a bad mother. He was just, like, in this one instance has the children. Like, she's signed the kids up for, like, these acting schools and all these, like, after-school programs in the UK that are, like, really in her hometown that are very important to her and, like, blah, blah, blah. He literally divorced her, and she found out through the media. They had a huge fight on his birthday that led to the, like, disillusion of their marriage. Like, it's just, like, all this stuff that's, like, really dramatic. And then this icing on the cake is she just, like, is in New York, presumably to, like, see the kids, and keeps going out to dinner with Taylor Swift.
And, like, the whole girl gang. Yeah. Like, everyone's there.
Her best friends and Taylor's best friends, and they just keep on going out to dinner, which is so funny because she's been posting, like, how she's a Swiftie and, like, also, like, song, like, lyrics from Taylor Swift's songs about Joe Jonas.
Because Taylor Swift famously has that song, Mr. Perfectly Fine, about her relationship with Joe Jonas, who apparently broke up with her over, like, text or something. Yeah, on the phone. Yes, exactly.
Clearly he, like, is terrible at breaking up with people.
Yeah, but also, like, this required, like, mastermind level of, like, manipulation and getting your ducks in a row with your PR squad. Yeah. Like, you do not have an ounce of room for error with this, you know? And, like, this is a PR spin that's just gone so haywire. Like, it's really difficult, I think, to, like, heard public opinion, but, like, when you try to make your own narrative and then, like, it's obvious that, like, public opinion has already been decided and, like, your narrative is never going to, like, be accepted by people who are already pro Sophie, like, this obviously was gonna backfire.
I feel like his, like, that's
the only way.
Yeah, like, his popularity increased dramatically because of her. Like, she is the, like, reason 100%. Anybody cares about the Jonas Brothers in 2023, and maybe Indians do because of Priyanka Chopra. But yeah, it's, like, just really funny that, like, Taylor is, like, I sent you something that was, like, this caption of her and Sophie, like, walking out of this restaurant.
Like, one of her, is it, like, picture me?
Yes.
Thickest thieves with your ex.
Yes, it's that one. It's that one.
It's that one.
It's, picture me thickest thieves with your ex-wife.
And that's pretty funny. But the whole, like, bad mom thing, I just, like, I'm still not over it. Because, like, I think I watched a TikTok about this where, like, there's all these, like, alleged rumors that Joe Jonas, like, parties a lot. He randomly had, like, Aaron Rodgers. He invited Aaron Rodgers to his birthday party. Like, the day before they broke up was Joe Jonas's birthday party that Aaron Rodgers attended for some God knows what reason. That's weird, right? Like, why are you friends with Aaron Rodgers, who's, like, known to be widely accepted as a controversial, like, maybe problematic person? Then he apparently, like, did coke all the time. So, like, I feel like he was maybe trying to, like, project.
Deflect,
put it on Sophie, even though he himself was doing everything he said she was doing. And trying to really take the bad mom angle, which is sloppy. Like, if you're gonna do that, do it well. Bad job.
Exactly. And the reason this is relevant, which it isn't really, but is that Daryl Priyanka is all over Instagram, like, flaunting her love for Nick.
Yeah, like, oh my gosh, love you, Nick. Like, we've weathered every storm together. Like,
it's so shady. Like, it's okay to be quiet and just do your spawn con for a few months while this, like, dies down.
Yeah. She's, like, leaning into it. Like, we're perfect. They suck. We're happy and in love. They're not.
Remember how Priyanka invited Sophie to her bachelorette party and Sophie didn't invite Priyanka to hers?
Yeah.
TBT.
Yes, I do. I do remember that.
I mean, I cannot imagine those women speaking. That just makes no sense. I don't see that for either of them.
Well, yeah, I agree. I also read that, like, apparently Joe Jonas is another TikTok thing. Apparently he was egged on by Nick and Kevin to dump Sophie.
Oh my god, I saw that.
Like, they were very much behind it. Apparently there was, like, an Us Weekly article that was then, like, had parts of it redacted, like, 2 hours later.
What?
And the redacted bits included, like, a couple. I'll find you it. I don't know how I. Actually, let me tell you what TikToks I've been seeing recently. But it's been a lot of that. And this TikToker was basically, like, like, the parts that were redacted were about how Nick and Kevin, like, egged him on. But then a lot of my TikToks have been about. Oh my god, you're gonna die when you hear this. I've been on Larry Talk. Do you
what
know
is Larry
what that
Talk?
Is?
Oh my god, is it Harry Lewis One Direction? No! What?
I don't know.
Is that still active? That's still a corner of TikTok in 2023?
It's a corner of TikTok that has a lot of videos, and I just watched two, and now it's like half of my videos.
Wait, it's what are you half making my videos. That, like, today?
There's all this, like, there are all these, like, clips of, like,
Are you convinced? Wait, tell me everything.
I'm convinced. Yes, I believe it. I'm, like, a Larry subscriber now. 100%. The One Direction movie, right?
Yeah.
I think it's mostly clips from that movie.
Me and Anisha went to the mall in, like, Stamford or something. Like, some ridiculous... took the bus to the mall because it was pre-Uber. And it took us, like, an hour and a half to get there. And it was, like, probably, like, a 15-minute Uber away.
It's just stuff like that. Anyways, I digress. But yeah, that's the stuff I've been seeing on. I don't know how I ended up there, but it's where I am. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that's kind of it. We didn't have anything to, like, there was no, like, TLDR about Sophie and Joe, except we were wrong. Sorry, Nick and Priyanka.
Okay, well, I feel like that's our episode. Yeah, I think so. Except for we were wrong, and it's relevant to us because, well, we talk about them a lot. And Priyanka is definitely rubbing it in their faces that she is in a happy relationship that has exceeded all of our predictions for how long it'd last. Like, they are on their fifth year of marriage.
You know what? Keep it going, guys. We need this pause.
Yeah, we need the content.
Yeah, okay, I think that's it. That's our mini, not so mini, mini, what's the opposite of mini?
It's a maxi mini, I guess.
Maxi mini, yeah, it's a maxi mini.
Episode with no theme, but...
With no theme, and with my brain working at 5%, and you did a surgery this morning, so are probably tired also.
Yeah, not too tired to talk about any of the stuff, including Larry. I always have energy
for Larry. Wow, I love that. Can you send them all to me? I'm like,
yeah, no. Sure, I will send them to you, don't worry. I'll do that right after this conversation. So, anyways, thanks for listening, guys. And we'll be back soon with an actual episode about one topic. And so, in preparation for that, send us any thoughts that you have, any lies we told, things that are on your mind, or if you just want to say hi again, shout out to Ashley Matthews, who is, she's frequented our DMs, and we love her for it. So keep it up, Ashley. Keep listening to us. And as always, just email us at thebrownburndown@gmail.com.
XOXO.
Until next time.
Bye.